Testing 1, 2. Well, good evening, everybody. I see a couple of old faces here. It's like a blast from the past. It's nice to see you again, eh? We are very blessed to see you, and we are very blessed to have you here with us tonight. And I really do believe that God's going to do something wonderful here tonight. You know that God is good, amen? And how many of you know that God has a good plan for your life? Sometimes the problem is we miss that plan a little bit. We go left, we go right, we go places we're not supposed to go. But one thing you can bank on, God's plan is still there. And if you've missed it a little bit, and if you've gone a bit to the left and a bit to the right, and if you've gone way backwards, I want to tell you something. God can always help you to get to that way. Amen. And if you want to know how, well, the Bible says Jesus is the truth, Jesus is the way, Jesus is the life. No one comes to the Father except through Him. If you meet up with Jesus Christ once again, He will help you and the Spirit of God will get you back on track. Amen. A couple of weeks ago, I was reading in the Bible and this proverb actually jumped out at me, and I believe God spoke to me about it. And I decided that tonight this is what I would like to share with you. It comes from the book of Proverbs, chapter 11, verse 27. He who seeks good finds goodwill, but evil comes to him who searches for it. That's from the New International Version. I'm going to read you what the King James Version says. It says, he that diligently seeketh good procureth favor, but he that seeketh mischief, it shall come unto him. Let's ask a question. If I was to ask the question tonight, how many of you would love to have good things come to you? Just raise your hands. Let's quickly see. The people not raising their hands, they've got the spirit of deafness. We'll cast it out. You'll hear better next time. Amen? Okay, so we are all in agreement that we want good things for our life. Do you want good things for your children? Do you want good things for your family? Do you want good things for... Are you married? Let me first check. I was going to ask if she wants good things for her husband. I might be prophesying. You never know. But the fact of the matter is, if I have to come here tonight and I say, who wants bad things? Nobody's going to take it. Good things, we all want it. We all need it. And we understand that it's an integral part of our life. Now, here's the thing. If we give people a choice, most people would choose the good things and they would ask God. And I do believe when we pray, oh Lord, please bless my family. Lord, bless my relationships. Bless my marriage. Lord, I want prosperity. I want life. I want abundance. I want opulence. You know, we pray for good things to come. But one thing we must understand, it is very important that we understand that good and favor do not just automatically come to us because we are children of God. I want you to listen to me very carefully. You know, there are some, I don't know what to call them, factions within the Christian belief that have this thing that because you are saved, all the good things are just going to happen. Do you experience it that way? Because I surely don't. In fact, sometimes there's a lot of stress and drama and a lot of problems. But good things are possible, and I want you to understand that. But what we have to understand is that the good things are linked to our attitude. Look at your neighbor and say, your attitude is important. Your attitude is important. There has to be, it is very important that we understand that good things and favor don't just automatically come to people. They are called to people. And I'm going to explain to you what I mean by that. There has to be something in your life that calls it. If there's nothing in your life that calls it, it cannot come. And it's not you that call it. It's something in your life that calls it. I want you to think of the life of Jesus Christ. Can we come to an agreement that Jesus was a very blessed man? In fact, I want to put it to you this way. Jesus was probably the most blessed man that ever walked the planet. Amen? The Bible says upon Jesus was the Spirit of God without measure. I can't say that. You can't say that. Benny Hinn can't say that. Reinhard Bonnke can't say that. T.B. Joshua can't say that. But upon Jesus' life was the Spirit of God without measure. In fact, when Jesus was born, there was some wise men that came from the other side of the earth, sent by a star, guided by the Holy Spirit, to bring untold wealth and riches into his life. Was he blessed? Oh, yes, he was. He saw the power of God. He walked on water. He cast out demons. He rose the dead. He cleansed the leper. He turned water into wine. He did amazing things. Was he blessed? Yes, he was. But let's look at his life. If you want to characterize the life of Christ, and you have to sum up what kind of a man he was, what would you say? What kind of a man was he? Could we say that he was a good man? Well, I want to stick to the word good here, because the word good is what is central to what we're talking about tonight. Jesus was always willing to help. Jesus was always willing to give of himself. Jesus was always willing to be a servant. He healed people, delivered people, did miracles. He fed people. You remember twice, the people were sitting there for something like 3 days listening to him and wow, because of all the wonders that happened, and the people were hungry. And Jesus cared about them. He said to the disciples, what have we got to feed these people? The disciples were like, wow, it's going to take tons and tons of food to feed them. Where are we going to get that from? Jesus said, calm down. What have you got available? Let's feed the people. Jesus cared about people. The goodness in Jesus called the goodness and the godly favor that he had in his life to be with him. It didn't just materialize. Because of who he was, because of how he was, goodness and favor followed him in everything that he did. And I want to say this to you. If you change your outlook on life, you too may soon find yourself experiencing the same goodness and the same favor that Jesus did. By changing your attitude, what I mean is, we sometimes fall into this trap. We will sit and wait for somebody to be good to us instead of looking for opportunities to be good to others. Does that mean something to you? It's a lot easier to have an expectation that people must do things for me, but I don't necessarily want to do things for people. I like it when goodness comes to me. I don't necessarily like to give goodness, because you see, to give goodness, it takes from you. You're going to have to make some kind of a plan. It might cost you a bit of money. It might cost you a bit of time. It might cost you a bit of labor. It might cost you a bit of hard work. And some people are, what's the word I'm looking for? Allergic to it. It's easier for people to give to me. It's not so easy for me to give to people. And when I tell you that it's time for us to change our attitude, that's what I'm talking about. God is waiting for a people that can humble themselves and say, but what can I do for you? You know, they say, it's not what your country can do for you, it's what you can do for your country. It's not what others can do for you. In the kingdom of God, it is what you can do for others that will change your life. Sometimes the kindness of a stranger can bring a momentary change in your life. But have you ever sat down and thought that your kindness to others can actually change your entire life? And you see, this is where we have to get to. Yes, it's wonderful if somebody comes and they show you kindness, they show you mercy, they give you something good, because for a while you're going to be blessed, but tomorrow is going to be a disaster again. How do you get yourself out of that pit? How do you change your circumstances? Well, God wants to see something in you, and what he wants to see in you is how you relate to those in need. How you allow the goodness of God to come through you and touch others. Raise your hands quickly. Look at them. What do you see? Well, I'm blessed that you see hands. I want to tell you what you should see. These are the hands of Jesus. If Jesus was around, what would he do? Well, he would do something. He would help. What should we do? Well, we should be like him. We are disciples. Those who focus only on themselves and like to cause trouble for others are in for a really nasty surprise. Psalm 7 verse 15 to 7, Psalm 7 verse 15 to 16 says, "He who digs a hole and scoops it out falls into the pit he has made." The trouble he causes recoils on himself. His violence will come down on his own head. I know that there's many of you that sometimes get a bit frustrated and a bit upset because this one is doing something bad and this one is causing problems. But I want to tell you something. God is not perturbed. God is not worried, because the kingdom of God is set up to deal with people like that automatically. God doesn't have to lift one finger. It's already written in the word and it will come to pass. And I want you to understand something. The word of God makes it very clear. If you go out to cause problems and trouble for other people, you are actually just causing problems and trouble for yourself. Because the word of God gives us a very stern warning. What you wish upon others will ultimately just come upon you. And what you've prepared for others, you've actually prepared for yourself. God will make sure, the word of God will make sure that it comes upon you. Let's read that scripture again. He who digs a hole and scoops it out will fall into the pit that he has made. The trouble he causes recoils on himself. His violence comes down on his own head. Let me read you our opening scripture again. He who seeks good finds goodwill, but evil comes to him who searches for it. Now, Proverbs 11 verse 27 offers us two choices, only two. There is success on the one hand, and there is trouble on the other hand. Let me see the hands of everybody that would like success to come into their life. Any takers on trouble? I can see Leonard's got this attitude, I got enough trouble already. It's like, you must be joking. I like the way you think. Now let's see what the word of God says. How can we get rid of the trouble that we already have? Because the answer is yeah. The choice is entirely yours. But the key to success and the key to favor from God and from man is how you treat others. I'm sure you never looked at it that way. I want you to listen carefully. The way you treat others will determine whether you are successful or whether you are a failure. Will determine whether you have favor or disaster follows your life. And maybe now some of you are sitting there thinking to yourself, oh, but you know what, this makes a lot of sense, because I didn't always treat people all that well and look at where I am now. But it can all change because you still have a choice. And if you understand what the word of God is saying to you today and you start making the right choices, the blessing will return to your life. Let's take a look at what both David and Peter had to say about what the Bible says here. Psalm 34 verse 12 to 16 says, "Whoever of you loves life and desires to see many good days." Oh, listen to that. Is there anybody in this place that loves life? You love life? "And you desire to see many good days." Anybody here want to see many good days?
Yes.
Listen carefully. "Whoever of you loves life and desires to see many good days," now he's going to tell you what you got to do to get to that place. And maybe you're thinking to yourself, man, I'm not in that place right now. Open your ears. Listen carefully. He's going to tell you. Number one, keep your tongue from evil. Don't chiri-chiri. Yeah. Keep your tongue from evil. What are the things that the tongue can get up to that can get you into trouble? How many of you know gossip? Slander. Lies. backstabbing, speaking evil, causing factions and dissension among people. We have to be very careful, because if we don't watch our tongue will get us into the pit. And you know, it doesn't help you ask God to take you out of the pit if your tongue keeps digging you deeper and deeper and deeper into the pit, because you're never going to get out. You got to change the way you talk. If you don't know what's going on, zip it. Don't spread rumors, because you're digging a pit for yourself. At some point in time, it's going to come back to you. You know, the Bible says life and death is in the power of the tongue, and they that use it will eat its fruit. He says, firstly, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking lies. So he says, it starts with your tongue. You want to see good days? Change the way you speak. Speak good about others, not bad. Bless and do not curse. Then he says, turn from evil and do good. Every day you have an opportunity to do two things. You can either go out there and mess up somebody's life, or you can go out there and do something good for somebody. What does the Word of God say you should do if you want to see many good days? Well, don't look for opportunities to mess up somebody's life. Don't speak bad about people. Don't dig a pit for somebody else. Do good. Turn from evil and do good. Seek peace. I want to say something about that. It is very important in God's eyes that we seek peace. We must seek peace in our families. We must seek peace in our relationships. We must seek peace in our community. We mustn't be a troublemaker. We must be a peacemaker. Amen? God wants us to seek peace. What must we do? Make peace with your enemies. Make peace with your family. Amen? If right now you have a situation where there is drama and nonsense and you can make peace, humble yourself and make peace. Don't wait for the other person to come to you. You do it. And if they reject it, God will at least say, you tried. You are seeking peace. If you show God this attitude, God begins to look at you completely differently. Listen to this. I'm not lying. He says, yeah, seek peace and pursue it. In other words, run after peace. He doesn't say run after turmoil. He doesn't say run after strife. He doesn't say run after fighting. He says, pursue peace. Run after it like your life depends on it. And then he says, listen to this, the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. Who is the righteous here? The ones who pursue peace. The ones who seek to do good. When does God begin to notice you? When you do the following. Keep your tongue from evil. Keep your lips from speaking lies. Turn away from evil. Do good. Seek peace. Pursue it. Immediately, your life is put squarely in front of God, and He has to notice you. But Rian, how can you say that? Because the Word of God says it, and God is not a man that He should lie. You want God to notice you? Do the things that make you noticeable. I want to tell you something. If you pursue evil, God does not notice you. He doesn't have to notice you. His Word will kick in, and God will, and the Word of God will make sure that you get put into place. But if you want God to see your life, if you want God to look at you in a different light, follow the Word of God. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and His ears are attentive to their cry. You want to make sure that every time you cry out to God, He hears you? Follow the Word. Apply it in your life. And listen to what He says here. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Sometimes we have this thing, but you know what? These people, they do all this stuff and they mess around and they cause problems for everybody and they seem to get away with it. No. The face of God has been turned from them. And there will come a day when they are in deep dwang and they cry out and nobody's going to listen, because God won't hear them. God doesn't see them, and they must make a plan for themselves. It's going to come back to them. I promise you. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off their memory from the earth. Wow. That's heavy duty stuff. Even their memory will be cut off from the earth. If you go and read 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 10 to 12, he actually quotes this scripture verse by verse. There is a saying down here, what goes around comes around. Well, my friend, that is true, and it's biblical. If goodness goes around, goodness will come back. If evil goes around, evil will come back. The Bible turns it in a different way. It says, what you sow, you will reap. So if you are selfish, if you like to hurt others, if you are critical, if you are bitter, if you are negative, jealous, envious, if you like to sow discord, if you like to cause division, if you like fights, you are in for a painful and a trouble-filled life, because that's what's going to come back. So let me ask you a question. If I do not do evil, in other words, I'm not pursuing evil, I'm not speaking bad about anybody, I'm sort of, you know, just sitting on the fence, should I therefore be blessed? No. And I'm going to show you why. The favor of God and man is not on those who do not do evil. The favor of God and man is on those who choose to do good. There's a difference. Because there's people out there that don't necessarily do evil, but they don't do good either. You don't have the favor of God, and you don't have His blessing. Because the blessing of God and the favor of God is reserved for those who choose to do good. A blessed life filled with many happy days is only for those who diligently seek to do good and to help others. Sitting on the fence and saying, oh, but you know what? At least I'm not doing anything bad is not bringing anything good either. Because nothing brings nothing, but goodness brings goodness. So where must you be? You must be there where the goodness is. A true Christian walk is a walk as a servant to others. You all know the answer to this, but what was Jesus? Jesus was a servant. And you see, when we become children of God, that's where a lot of us have a bit of a problem, because when we were in the world, we wanted everybody to do everything for us. We wanted others to be good to us. Now God expects us to be good to others. God expects us to serve. It is a humbling thing to serve others. And sometimes that pride that we carry in our hearts is the reason why we're not getting out of the pit. I'll give you an example. This is just an example, but let's say you are the CEO of a company. You used to, when you are at your company, everybody runs when you get up, the secretary's running around wanting to know what can they do. And when you walk out the front door, the car stops there and the chauffeur opens the door and everybody just does everything for you. And then you come to church and the chairs need to be packed. It would be easy to take a step back and wait for everybody else to do it, because you don't have to do it, right? Wrong. Because in the kingdom of God, we're all equal. Your CEO status in the kingdom of God means nothing. In the kingdom of God, you are a fellow servant. I don't know if that makes sense. And as a fellow servant, what's good for one is good for the other. And sometimes we have a problem with that, but we shouldn't, because if we understand how the kingdom of God works, God is simply giving you an opportunity to be even more blessed if you bless others with goodness and kindness. Amen? So, you can't pat yourself on the back for being on the fence, not necessarily doing something bad, and expect good to come, because the Bible says for good to come, good has to go from you. It is the servant heart that catches the eye and the favor of God and men. Now let me show you what God's word says about our purpose. You know, many times people come to me and they say to me, Abba Drian, what's my purpose? I don't know what my purpose is. Well, I can't tell you the specifics of your purpose, but I can tell you in general what your purpose as a Christian is, because that is very clear and laid out to us in the Word of God. Ecclesiastes 3 verse 12 says, I know that there is nothing better for men. Do you want to know what he's talking about? Listen to what he says. He says, there is nothing better. What is this thing? Listen carefully. I know that there is nothing better for men than that they are happy and do good while they live. According to the Word of God, the best thing that you can do right now is to do good. Amen? And then he says, so in other words, the number one purpose that you have while you are down here is do good to others. Amen? Do good to others. The second thing, Mark chapter 9 verse 35. Sitting down, Jesus called the 12 and he said, if anyone wants to be first, he must be the very last and the servant of all. You know, Daniel, we all want to be first. It's nice to be first. It's good to be first. But in order to be first in the kingdom of God, you have to be last, which means simply you have to be a servant. To climb the ladder in the kingdom of God, in a worldly sense, you have to climb the ladder down and be a servant. Sometimes it is referred to as a lowly servant. Mark 10 verse 44 says, whoever wants to be first must be a slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom to many. Galatians 5 verse 13 says, you, my brothers, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge in the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. Your first purpose is what? No. This is the second one we're busy with now. The first purpose is to do good. The second purpose is to serve one another. And then Paul actually warns us, listen to this, not to forget to do good. He says in Hebrews 13 verse 2, do not forget to entertain strangers. For by doing so, some people have entertained angels without knowing it. And then further on in verse 16, he again comes back and he says, do not forget to do good. Do not forget to do good. And to share with others. For with such sacrifices, God is pleased. How do you please God? Every time you do good to others, you are pleasing God and you are fulfilling your purpose. And can I tell you something? The specifics of your purpose down here will begin to manifest itself when you come in line with your general purpose, which is to serve and to do good. Amen? The more you serve and the more you do good, the more the Holy Spirit will push you to the place where you can serve and do good in your specific purpose. But if you can't serve and you don't do good, you will never know what your purpose is because you are too far from it. It'll never manifest itself. Our good service to others will be remembered in the day of judgment. Matthew chapter 25 verse 40 says, the king will reply, I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. Can I tell you why God is blessed? Can I tell you why you have the favor of God when you do good? Because the Word of God makes it clear, whatever you do for anybody else, you are really just doing for God. Oh, but how does that work? I'll tell you how it works. God is their Father. Let's look at a scripture that we all know. We spoke about it loosely right in the beginning. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, to give you a hope, and to give you a future. Can we all agree that in general, God's plan for her is to prosper, for you is to prosper, for you is to prosper, for you, for all of you. Now, how do we get to the place that we begin to prosper? It involves people. Nobody prospers without the input, the kindness, the giving, the goodness of people around. When you make yourself available to be used by God in acts of goodness, kindness, giving, sharing, whatever the case might be, you become a vessel of God, and therefore you begin to fulfill God's purpose for somebody else. How can God not bless you? And therefore, one day when you stand before God, God will say, oh, wow, let me just remind you, you know, on that day you helped Rian out. I sent you. You didn't do that for him, you did that for me. Oh, and you remember when Eddie was in the dwang and you went out of your way to do something for him? That day I touched your heart because I wanted to help him. You did it for me, not for Ed. Every time you do something good, you do it for God. Because the Word of God says one day when you stand before God, all these things will be brought up. And God will say to you, this is what you did for me. This is what you did for me. I want to ask you a question. How many of you want to do something for God? Start doing something for the people around you and you will be doing something for God. That's how you do something for God. Now, Hebrews 6 verse 10. God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown him as you have helped his people and continue to help them. Did you hear that? God will not forget one thing that you've done down here for the people around you. Not one thing. Because what you do for them, you're really doing for him. Whether it's big or whether it's small, it doesn't matter. You do it for him. Hebrews 6:10, God is not unjust. He will not forget your work. And he will not forget the love that you have shown him. Do you hear that? This is amazing. How do we show God we love him? By doing good for others. Did you get that? He says here, he will not forget your work and the love you have shown him as you have helped his people. Sometimes we have this thing, oh Lord, I love you so much, I don't know how to express it. Can I tell you how to express it? Get involved and do good. The more you do good unto others, the more you show God that you love him. So, are all these blessings for one day? Am I doing all of these things so that one day I can stand before God and God can remind me of all the wonderful things that I've done? Well, to some extent, yes, it is going to happen, but there's more to it than that. I have some good news for you. Listen to this. Psalm 37, verse 23 to 28. If the Lord delights in a man's way, he makes his steps firm. And though he may stumble, he will not fall. For the Lord upholds him with his hand. I was young and now I am old. Yet I have never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging for bread. They are always generous and they lend freely. Their children will be blessed. Turn from evil and do good. Then you will dwell in the land forever. For the Lord loves the just and he will not forsake his faithful ones. They will be protected forever, but the offspring of the wicked will be cut off. I don't know if you caught that, but if you give, God will take care of you and your children. God will bless you and your children. In other words, if you change your attitude and your attitude becomes in line with God's purpose, God says he will protect you, he will protect your children. He will bless you, he will bless your children. His favor will be upon you, his favor will be upon your children. Amen? This is not for one day. This is for today. If you want to make an investment in your child's future, it is very easy. It has nothing to do with how much money you put into Sanlam or Old Mutual or Liberty Life. It has to do with how much kindness, goodness, help you sow into the lives of others. Because what you sow into people's lives today will come back for your children tomorrow. You want to bless your kids? Change your attitude. Become a giver. Become a helper. Become a servant. Don't sit and wait for others to do something for you. Sit and look for reasons to do something for others and see how quickly your life will turn around. God's word will never return to him void. And if we understand these things, we too can be blessed. You know, sometimes we look at the lives of certain people. Doesn't matter who they are. And we have this thing like, oh, but why is this one so blessed? Why does that one have so much of this and that and what? We don't necessarily know that person. We don't know how that person lives their life. And we don't know what their attitude is towards others when it comes to giving. You know, people that are really good at giving do it, as the Bible says, the right hand doesn't know what the left hand does. So you might not know what that person does. You might not know how many places that person is involved. But you can see the fruit of what they are doing when you look at their life. And one day when their children grow up, you will see the fruit in their children as well. The good life as promised in the Word of God is not for everyone. It is for those who understand that the door is unlocked by the life we choose to live. Proverbs 11 verse 27 says, "He who seeks good finds goodwill, but evil will come to him who searches for it." You have a choice how you're going to live your life. You can either live your life looking for opportunities to do good, or you can live your life looking for opportunities to mess with people, to give them a hard time. It's your choice. Understand that your choice will have consequences, either good or bad. And understand that if you truly want a good life, if you truly want to be blessed, if you want to walk in the favor of God, it's conditional. The way you live your life will determine where you walk. Some people walk in the favor of God. Well, bless them. They've done something to deserve it. Some people are very far from the favor of God. Well, they got nobody to blame but themselves. And if they change their life, and if they change their attitude, and if they change their outlook on life, they can be right next to the person that walks in the favor of God. Because I want to remind you of something. God is not a respecter of man. He won't bless Fatima, but not bless you. He won't bless Alberto, but not bless you. If you come to the place that you live your life in the way that he does, blessing God, blessing others, helping, you will be blessed. We are living in a society where people more and more have become selfish. It's all about me, myself, and I. Well, that's probably why society is falling apart. If we take a good look at ourselves and change, society will begin to change. And the blessing of God more and more will be manifest in our society. It really is time for us to take a long, hard look at our lives. The opportunities to do good is endless. And so are the opportunities to mess up and to do evil. The choice is yours. I'm going to ask you again. Who of you here tonight would love to have a long, good life? Then this is what I foresee in your future. I foresee kindness. I foresee a servant heart. I foresee goodness. I foresee help. I foresee blessings into the lives of others. And then I want to tell you what's going to happen. It's going to come back to you in ways you never, ever, ever expected. Amen. Amen. Did anybody learn something today? Give the Lord a big hand, please.